This is the most I've sat upward in 48 hours. So,
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a little bit better. I've got some Gatorade. Oh yeah.
Oh, I see.
Brought to you by Gatorade. No, they didn't give me any money. I don't know what was wrong with me. We usually record on Friday nights. We break out the cocaine and it's like our own little Saturday Night Live, and then in the 70s. But then Friday, I was like, I think I'm dying. So we decided to do it today on Sunday, where I'm a little bit better. Well, I'm a lot better, but it's been a slow go. I don't know if I'm really sick or if Thursday night I was kind of really tired and dehydrated, and for some reason I worked out really hard, like for no reason, and then the
Brag.
next day everything hurt and I was constipated. Is it a brag? Feels like a real stupid rookie mistake. Feels real dumb.
Listen, the flu's going around really bad
Could
right
be.
now. Really, really bad. And about 2 weeks ago, we got the flu in this house. The whole house got it for about 10 days. So we're
Wow.
still like, I have an emergency right here. The like respiratory stuff, we're not contagious anymore, but it's just lingering. So, we're not at our finest right now, but this could be our Michael Jordan flu game. This could be the best we ever did.
That's right. I doubt it, but
I got cough drops on deck just in case my voice starts to go out. I got my
Nice.
emergency right here.
Nice. You gotta feed the beast, you know what I mean? You gotta feed the beast. You were recently saying to me that you don't like any episode you're not on. And I was like, well, Janine, you gotta feed the beast. We can't Anthony needs to express himself as well.
I did say that. I was
You're like,
like,
why are there episodes without me? And it's like, well, because there's gotta be one every week. But this is PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today with Janine Serpentine
Ooh,
Gagliardi.
hello.
How are you? And I say that because you swerve.
I'm always like
Swerve,
this, just
that's
in
the
an
thing.
S shape
Yeah,
constantly.
you can't hold you down. It's hard to shoot you with arrows.
Well,
So
we started with our daily aches and pains already,
welcome.
the airing of the grievances.
Daily aches and pains.
There's always one episode, like at least annually, where we're both like, oh my God,
I know
what is this mortal body that I'm in?
it's winter. Winter is hard for species that are essentially from Africa. We just don't know how to
It's
deal with it.
true. It's true.
We're like, what
You'd
is this
think
cold?
like living outside of the cradle of life for so many thousands of years, we'd get used to it, but no.
And the last few weeks I've been so depressed via the lack of sun and just grayness.
I was just telling Bill, I was looking at Google Photos from the last couple of Januaries and Februaries and seeing like how often we were outside with the kids and like why I have zero pictures of being outside for the last 2 months. And then I'm like, well, that's because every weekend it's been 19 degrees, real feel 8 degrees, like windy, ice rain. Like the worst conditions imaginable. It's been such a rough, gross winter.
I know we've had a couple for the last couple of years, we've had very mild winters, but this
Oh,
winter's
yeah.
been wintering hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's
It came
really
back
been
to remind
wintering.
us.
It's like, by the way, your country is falling quickly into fa fascism, and it's also
And
very
we're going to
cold.
give you a bitter winter on top of it.
It's sometimes, the universe is poetic, but we soldier on as we always did. We podcasted all through the pandemic,
That's true.
and look at us now. This podcast is like 7 years old or something
It's
crazy.
crazy. It's
Podcast
crazy.
is so old.
We're gonna hit 400 soon.
Yeah,
Wow.
unbelievable. We've had about, I don't know, four or five, I think, real solid episodes. Like,
One
we're like,
every 100 isn't bad.
yeah, we're like SNL that way. Oh no, I'm bitchy today. I don't know. I'm coming out of this
Oh
illness is
no.
making me bitchy. I'm
I've
sorry.
been, Bill's like, you're so cranky today to me. So we're going into this with like a dark-sided energy, you and I.
We are.
Yeah.
Well, I guess let's talk about some news.
Let's do it.
There's some interesting news about Doge. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh no. Oh God, no.
I don't.
No.
No real news. That's our, much like Fox News, that's our moniker. No real
No
news.
real news. All the news you don't have to worry about.
This is from Deadline, but it's been all over.
Oh.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer Root Boot, starring Sarah Michelle
Wait, did you
Gellar.
say root boot?
I think I said reboot, but I think in the middle of it, I had cardiac arrest.
Like, what's a root boot? That's cool. That's something new.
Yeah, it's a new thing Hollywood's trying. Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot. I feel like I'm gonna cough into a white cloth and you're gonna see like a extreme close-up of like blood.
Yeah, but you
Like this is a
hide it.
Victorian drama.
But
I
you
hide
have to
it.
hide it
You have
from
to hide.
me.
There's nothing you hide in movies more than handkerchiefs with blood and zombie bites.
That's true.
You
Yeah.
hide that shit until it's too late for everyone else. Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot, starring Sarah Michelle Gellar. No, it's Gellar.
Oh, she's coming back. Okay. In
Yeah,
the works.
they're calling it a reboot, but it's a sequel. It's her. It's her. Now, I imagine we have to retcon the finale, right? Because doesn't like one third of all women in the world become slayers or something like that?
Yeah, but maybe it was just for a day. They could just
Yeah.
say it was just a day.
Yeah.
The one day slayer.
Yeah, it's all done. That beautiful montage is undone. The guy,
Oh.
that domestic abuser, then when she stopped being a slayer, he beat her up. That's terrible. I don't
Oh
know. I'm so
God.
today. I'm so sorry. More than 2 decades after Buffy the Vampire Slayer ended, its 7-season run, six if you're really counting, the beloved supernatural drama is eyeing a revival with new chapter in the franchise. The follow-up series is nearing a pilot order from Hulu, with Sarah Michelle Gellar expected to start reprising her signature role as Buffy. Oscar winner Zoe Chow, a self-professed lifelong Buffy fan, is set to direct the pilot written by Nora and Lily Zuckerman, who did Poker Face. Now,
Oh,
you know what I don't see anywhere in these talks?
is Josh Whedon?
Whedon. No, Mr. Joss Whedon is not involved,
I
which I'm
see.
fine with.
Well, I'm curious. Did they ever have another showrunner? It was always him.
No, they did. When, how long into it did Angel start? 3 seasons? 4 seasons?
Yeah, maybe three. I feel like he got a spinoff really quickly.
When Angel started, he was officially the showrunner of Angel and not the showrunner of Buffy anymore. But
Okay.
still, he was like, his opinion was heard and heeded.
Oh, it was Marty Noxon. Yeah. And she was the showrunner for a couple years. Okay.
There are comic books that are called like season 8, season 9, that are
Yeah.
bananas. I mean, they really lean into what you could do with a comic book. So there's like, I remember the first story arc had like her little sister becomes a giant, and fucking there's like a super league of fucking slayers that live in a fucking like Stark Tower type. It was very comic booky.
Okay. All right. So it says Buffy started in 97, Angel started in 99. So it's 2 years, but it might have been season three at that point.
So he was not technically the showrunner for most of it, but he was around. I mean, he was, I think, in the writers' rooms. He was there. He's just
Yeah.
not the one calling all the shots.
Right. It does feel like his thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we liked attributing it to him before he learned he was kind of a douchebag.
I was just gonna say, I was like, I'm okay with new voices. Other people are funny too.
Why
Other
not?
people are quippy,
I'd like to see. I'd like to see what someone else. I mean, it's one of those things like The Force Awakens, where it's like, do you want the original person to continue, or do you want people who love the original to continue? Like, what could someone else come up with that would there would be at least baked into it some sort of love of what was originally there, not some sort of gripe about how you didn't achieve whatever you wanted to achieve or whatever the fuck. I don't think there's good blood between Allison Hannigan and Sarah Michelle Gellar, so I don't know.
Yeah, I got that sense also, but I don't know. I don't get the sense that Allison Hannigan is really up for turning down a paycheck these days, so I feel like they'll probably come back.
Hey, that's the kind of thing we could repatch in like one good lunch. You know what I mean? Hey, girl. Remember? Hey,
Yeah,
remember the 90s, girl?
definitely. Hey, remember the good times?
Haha. Seth Green will absolutely come back.
I don't think Xander will.
Oh, I think he's begging to. Are you kidding me? If he's
I
not in
well,
jail.
I that's what I think. I mean, I don't know that he's insurable. I don't know. I don't know.
He's calling Sarah Michelle Gellar every day, like, are we doing this? And she's like, how did you get this number?
He's like, I'm living in your trash can.
I've told you to
Oh
stop
no.
calling here. And he's like, no, it's my twin. It's like, no, you can't say that after you've already spoke.
Oh my God. Poor Xander. Even though I'm on the record on this podcast for saying I hate Xander.
Xander is, well, he Xander Chandler, they're the same character, they're the same kind of 90s guy.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm sarcastic, friend-zoned guy, and that's real rough. That's why Anya's song is so good in the musical episode, because it's just about how you're a fucking loser, Xander. And all you give a shit is about your fucking crush on your high school fucking classmate. Get over it.
Get over it. I feel like David Boreanaz would come back.
Oh, for sure. But then you, so with David Boreanaz and with James, who's Spike?
Marsters.
Yeah. You then have to talk about how these vampires got older and fatter.
Well,
You have to
right.
deal with that somehow.
Like, it's fine for Buffy to age. It's not
Right.
fine for them to age. And you
No.
don't want to do like CGI or
Right.
whatever.
No. That'll get costly.
Although with Angel, there was always that thing about like him getting his soul. He got his soul back. So they could like
Oh yeah, maybe the
retcon
soul
some
makes you
shit.
age.
Yeah.
And with Spike, he could just have 100% vampire face all the time.
Yeah, that's it. That covers it
He
all
never
up.
does human face anymore.
No, not
He's
anymore. I
old
got
age.
stuck. He got stuck.
Yeah, he made it for too long and it got stuck.
My face is gonna stick that way.
Yeah. So it's really kind of a nothing story, because usually there's no reporting on a pilot happening. Pilots happen constantly and then don't go. But I guess because this is a beloved franchise, the idea of a pilot happens good. And there's been rumblings about things like this for years, but I think this is spearheaded by Geller. And I think that gives it more juice now
Yeah.
than Whedon trying to do it or whoever trying to do it. Now, does Dolly Parton come back as a fucking secret producer?
Oh, I never knew that.
The production company that produces Dolly's show, and they've asked her about it, and
Wow.
she's like, I like it. Like, she's
I love
Dolly.
her. God, she's given us so much. The COVID vaccine, Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
Books,
Dollywood.
children. She's fucking It's amazing, because the right wants to hate her now, and it's like, you're not allowed to enjoy anything, I guess.
Yeah,
How could you
whatever.
hate Dolly Parton?
Dolly stays unbothered, a queen, an unbothered queen.
Yeah. She just did that video with Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, I tried Sabrina. You know, I like what do you call it? Licensed seasonal food. I tried.
Oh, did you try the shaken
Yeah,
espresso?
I tried Sabrina Carpenter's shaken espresso, and I was like, "Does it need sweetener?" And they're like, "No," but it did. I did not like it. It
Oh,
tasted.
really?
But then again, I might be just doing that because I had that, was dehydrated, went to the gym. And then I had 48 hours of sheer pain. So I might just be associating it with making me violently sick.
Okay.
Oh, man. Is there any greater high than right after throwing up? It's the greatest
Well,
high in the world. if
if you have the relief, right?
Right,
But
yes,
if
of
you
course.
don't, it's horrible. Like with the recent flu that I had these like really bad abdominal like pains, and that seems to be common with this flu that's going around. So
Yikes.
like I threw up and the pain was the exact same level, and I was
Oh,
like,
I'm so
this is
sorry.
hell. This is hell.
But did the nausea go away at all?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, just the urge to throw up went away, but the pain, I was just like back on the bed, like curled up. Oh, gosh.
The other day I had that situation where I'm like, I'm just sweating. I'm just trying to not throw up, because I'm like, I gotta keep this liquid down. I need liquid. And then I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna throw up. And then, like, as I thought that, I threw up. My body was like, oh, cool.
Oh.
It was the easiest. It like, you know how, like, sometimes you're like, I gotta throw up, and you kind of have to, like, stick your finger down your throat or whatever. Like, you kind of gotta help yourself do it.
Yeah, it's
My body
rough.
was like, bleh! Like it was just like it was always, it was a hair trigger away, always. Yeah, it was right. It was at the back of my tongue. But I've got tummy issues. You know, I have a hiatal hernia,
Oh.
which I'm 41. One in four people in their 40s have it.
Okay.
And 60% of people in their 60s have it. So it's not an uncommon thing. I also have a sliding one,
Oh.
which is the less problematic one. If you don't know, a hiatal hernia, which you might have, is that like there's a little like sphincter between your stomach and your throat, and your stomach kind of comes out of it. So you have like, and it causes GERD and heartburn and stuff. And if you know, the scary thing is it could cause esophageal cancer if you have GERD too much because the acid can
Yeah, the
fuck.
inflammation.
Yeah. But I think it's been, I don't know, lately it's been fucking with me. Sometimes like, but I think it's come from overeating too. I don't know, this is turning into therapy. I gotta get my, I gotta fucking, I
It's
know, I
just
gotta
in cuckoo
fucking
bananas,
stop. It's, I eat so much. It's the volume. The volume is
Oh
the
my,
problem.
oh my word.
It's like Disney's fucking Star Wars shows. The problem is the volume. And then I get dysphagia, and then that scares me. Anyway, let's talk about something else.
Like, well, that was part of news.
That's the news. I have this. It's breaking news. I have a hiatal hernia.
Oh my God.
Heard it
You
here.
heard it here first.
You heard it here first. You have, but you've got tummy problems, right?
I do. Yeah, I do. I was actually trying to think while you were saying that if I have a hiatal hernia or if Bill has one. I don't know. One of us has it.
I there's a one in there's a 50% shot that one of you has it.
And I know because one of us has been told that and I can't remember who. It's
It's
been a
not that
while.
big a deal. I asked,
Yeah.
you and I go to the same gastro, not
That
a
is true.
brag, but I asked, I don't know who the people are in that place. I asked one of the ladies who's not the doctor, but a answers questions anyway. And I was like, is it a big deal? And she literally was like, shrug. She was like, nah, hiatal hernia is no big deal.
Well, I believe it's the same person. And the last time I went in for an appointment with her, she was looking at my blood work and just went, dude, as I came into the office. I was like, oh.
Uh-oh. Was the blood work not up to snuff?
Oh, I had some. Oh God, here we go. You're gonna cut all this out. I had some crazy scare for like the course of, I want to say, 3 months
Oh
where
my
I
God.
literally thought I was dying, or that I wasn't gonna last a year
What?
because, oh no, seriously, I had, so I get like, I have gastritis. I have like kind of run-of-the-mill stomach issues,
Yeah.
and I'm on top of it, and you know, it's not, it hasn't been a big deal. So every so often they'll ask for like a workup, like get a sonogram and make sure like everything's okay. So I go to get one and they check my liver and I've had one before. It was like never an issue. And all of a sudden I go in and she's like, okay, the sonogram is suggesting that you have cirrhosis of the liver.
Oh
And
my
I was
God.
like, how? And
You're not a
she's
boozer.
like, and your levels are so bad that you're becoming cirrhotic, so your liver is like dying. So she's like, none of this makes sense, but I'm gonna have you sent for like all these other tests, right? So I go, I had to get all these tests done because she was like, her working theory was if this test was accurate, that I must have had hepatitis somehow, like a viral hepatitis or something that was like attacking my liver. So she's like, we'll figure it out. So I get all those tests, and then of course every like set of tests takes a few weeks, and then I had to do a follow up on that. This whole time, I'm like, oh my God, my liver's dying. I'm dying.
It's
Why?
so the fact that everything takes so long. They're like, this is the most important thing in the world. We're gonna give you an appointment in 6 months from now. Is that cool with you? And you're like, yeah,
Yes.
I'll just live until then. I'll
Yeah,
just
it's
go on with
great.
life as if I'm not terrified. Sure.
So finally, after like all this back and forth, different doctors, all this stuff, they were like, yeah, the first person just made an error and like read the test wrong. You're completely
Fuck
fine. I was like, Jesus
off.
Christ. Meanwhile, I'm talking to Bill like the possibility of a liver transplant, like if this is all true, like I would have to get one and like it's just a mess. I was
How
like,
come you didn't
oh my
tell me? You
God.
didn't tell me.
I didn't tell you and put it on the pod. Because I didn't want to like
Put out into the world.
I was freaking out, but like I didn't want to like put it out until it was real. Like it felt real to me, but I was just like, we have to just go through all the motions and make sure like I'm actually dying before I tell people that I'm dying. But yeah, no, I was like really sweating it out in the fall. Like the whole time we were doing like Creature from the Black Lagoon, I was like, I got a rotten liver in me.
Oh my goodness. Well, isn't that just, I mean, it's what a relief, right? But also it's like somebody read it wrong. I had an aunt, still have her actually, and she was like given a pretty say like bad cancer diagnosis. And you know, they were like, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, and like she was like set to have, I forget what, so some kind of surgery or whatever. And then like on some other tests they were like, our bad, like we confused you with someone else.
Oh, that
So someone
person
else
thinks they're
had it.
fine.
So someone else had it and didn't think they had it. And then she spoke to a lawyer to sue for distress, and the lawyer was like, no, you don't really have a case, like no one feels bad for you. The other person has a case. Like it sucks, but you don't have a case. No, there's no sympathy for you. It sucks. Well, I'm glad you're not dying.
I'm okay over here for now.
But aren't we all dying a little bit every day?
Every
Isn't
day.
that what life is, really? So some cinema news. This is from, I'm getting this from a Smithsonian. An intern finds the only surviving copy of Heart of Lincoln, a silent film thought to be lost to history. Released in 1915, the film was directed by Francis Ford, not Coppola, the brother of the brother of famed filmmaker John Ford. It had been listed in a record of 7,200 lost films so silent films classified as lost. So during his internship at a Long Island film archive, Dan Martin made a startling discovery. Curled up in five sealed cans was a 16 mm copy of Heart of Lincoln, a silent made in 1915. Martin found the movie last summer at Historic Films Archive in Greenport, New York. Yeah, he just found it and went to his bosses, were like, hey,
Remember this thing you thought was lost forever?
yeah, this like movie that, and I don't know if it's like they're going to put it out, we'll be able to watch it.
I hope he gets his college credit.
What's interesting though historically is it comes out in 1915, which is also when Birth of a Nation came out. And Birth of a Nation is racist as all fuck. It's about the founding of the Ku Klux Klan. And this is the Heart of Lincoln. It's about Lincoln, and this is a very liberal movie. So it'll be interesting to look at them side by side.
Sort of as like reaction pieces to each other or something.
Unless Trump writes an executive order saying that it can't come out.
Oh God.
You know, that's always
This
possible.
is the bad place. This is
This
the
is the
darkest
bad place.
timeline.
Yeah, we'll talk more in the chill sesh. I've been reading something that's making me think about this time, and it's been making me very emotional. So that's news. Who gives a fuck anymore? Okay, so
I know. I know.
the episode that Mike just gives up.
This is the one, guys. This is
This is the
the
one. Did you hear episode whatever the fuck? Yeah,
one.
everyone's sick. Ginny's dying, I think.
I think she died on air.
Died. And Mike is, I don't know what. He was making a lot of Anne Frank jokes. It was very dark.
It's an extremely dark episode. The mood is glum.
Glum. I'm looking at my last story and I realize this is also not a happy story.
Oh
Disney ends its DEI programs.
no. Oh
I tell you what's pissing me
fuck.
off.
You know what's funny is they're gonna take off all the stuff on Tiana's Bayou Adventure. It's back. It's back to Song of the
I know. And
South.
worse, they're adding more racist
They're
shit in.
adding more to remind everyone that the star of Song of the South was completely happy and fine. Don't
Yeah.
worry about him.
They also on Disney Plus, when you watch like old outdated movies, that used to be a longer intro that said like these depictions are out of date and don't reflect how we feel, blah blah blah. And now it just says these are old depictions, or it just says this movie is shown as it was originally made. Like it's very clinical now, where it used to have like a point of view about this is bad. But this is what bothered me about this. Like, so DEI if you don't know, are diversity, equity, inclusion programs. In the 80s, people used to call it affirmative action. It was the idea of trying to get, it was trying to hire for companies more minorities, and credit not. Well, the racists think that it puts unqualified people in jobs. What it really was to make sure qualified people of color could get into jobs, and they're not overlooked by some mediocre white person. And it's actually pretty common. Lots and lots of places have them.
It's what I did for a living for 7 years.
Oh, is that right?
Yes,
Oh
that's
my
right.
God! Don't tell anybody. Duh. You want me to cut that out of the
No,
podcast?
I'm brave. I'm brave. No, because it addresses the reality of inequity between people of color and white people in society. And I always hear like, oh, but I'm white and I'm poor. I don't have it. It's like, no, honey, we're not talking about you as a person individually. We're talking about systemic issues. And that seems to be the point that is just flying right over the heads of, just about everybody. Yes, there are wealthy black people in America. Yes, there are very impoverished white people in America. It doesn't change that the system is very heavily favoring white people in America versus people of color in America. And as a result, the education system is completely imbalanced, the resources are completely imbalanced. And as a result, and all you need to do is take a look at CEOs, take a look at the boards of places, take a look at professors, right? Like, who makes up the majority in the United States? And it's white people. And why is that? Because they're better? No, not a little, not even a little bit. Because the opportunities just simply is not there.
So Donald Trump did something he had to he well whatever. He said in the government, right, there could be no DEI programs, which is, you could argue whether he has a right to do that or not, but that's what he did, which is whatever. That's terrible, but whatever. What's
It's also
real,
just
what,
so stupid, and it's just like such blatant scapegoating. It's like, how is
of
that going to
course.
fix the price of fucking eggs? How is that responsible for plane crashes? Like, how dumb? How dumb?
But what's getting under my skin is these corporations that are electing to roll over. They haven't been ordered to do anything. They are giant corporations. They can do what they want. They are not under the edict of what he says, yet they're rolling over. And Target did it, and they've lost money, which is good. People have been
Yeah,
boycotting
good.
Target. And here Disney is doing it, and it's like, that's the thing. It's like, you don't, why are you doing this? You don't have to do it. You did not have to do this. What's so interesting about the time we're living in is you really are seeing like who is cowardly and who isn't. And I gotta say, it's not, a lot of it's not any of what I would have predicted. I didn't predict that the Catholic Church would be as
Outspoken against
outspoken.
Trump.
I didn't expect CNN to roll over the way that they did. Fucks, I don't know. I feel like people aren't talking about this enough. CNN has completely like kowtowed to him. They've put out edicts like don't discuss him in a negative way. Some anchors have left. CNN has completely rolled over like bootlickers.
AP is not allowed in, Associated Press is not allowed in currently because they're not doing that.
Right.
There's
Fucking
no, there is free press under Trump does not exist.
MapQuest.
MapQuest.
They're out there
Free
fucking calling
press,
it the Gulf of
Ask
Mexico like it's
Jeeves.
named.
My placemats in my kitchen say the Gulf of Mexico. We're holding the line.
Yeah, but like exactly like Google Maps, you don't have to call it the Gulf of America. What the fuck?
Why?
It's also like weird because it's like,
A weird tech bros, right? Like in his
yeah, it's
pocket.
yeah, I know, it's
Why?
all very weird. The
Because they don't
oh,
want to be regulated, because they know he's a petulant child.
I don't know. You know, I wonder what's going to happen with the Catholic Church because it seems like the Pope might pass away soon.
Yeah, he's in critical condition with kidney failure apparently. So that's not great.
And it would behoove the president of America to like come out and say something positive when he dies, but knowing Trump, he might not. And
He disagreed with me and the Lord chose to take him.
that's what happened. That's what happened. See what happens? He'll try to elect it. He'll be like, I want to elect the next pope. America is a Catholic country, and
The Pope is gonna buy, I mean, Trump is gonna buy Vatican City.
I guess that's
Anyway,
it for the news.
that's it. Guys,
Yeah.
we're so sorry about all this gloom and doom.
Let's talk about trailers.
Oh, please, let us talk about trailers.
So, an uplifting film, Mickey 17. In a dystopian future, you've got a protagonist who signs up to be a expendable, which is they
Yeah.
clone you and they send you on dangerous missions and you just die over and over again because you're cloned. It looks like a sort of dystopian sci-fi comedy. It's directed by Bong Joon-ho, who did Snowpiercer and Parasite.
Yes. Yeah. And Okja.
Yes, and it's stars Robert Pattinson
Yeah.
doing a voice. He is
He loves to do voices.
he loves a big choice.
Yeah,
He
yes.
loves a
He
big old swing.
choices and voices, you know,
Yeah.
that's what he's up to. I think I have I said this on the podcast before. I remember when he was cast for Twilight and he was in the Harry Potter films and he was kind of an unknown at that point. And I was reading some interview and like the director, Catherine Hardwicke, was like, yeah, we had to have talks with him because he was making this choice to portray Edward as like a true sociopath who couldn't feel emotion because he had been alive for so long. And we were like, it's kind of not gelling with the story we're trying to tell here. So
Incredible.
he's always making big
I love
choices.
it. I love it.
I know.
Actually, I think both of them, Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson, both I think went on to be really good actors and do
Yeah.
good things.
Yes. And got their, well, I mean, I know they both acted before, but like got their like their big break acting, like being critically underused
Oh,
basically in
yeah.
a, you know, in a film series that gave them nothing to do.
Right. So this movie has been delayed a bunch. It
Huh.
was actually screened in 2023.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of conflicting reporting on why it's been shelved. What is it? Did they need to redo it? Did they? I've heard that the tone is kind of all over the place, or people were confused by it, or they don't know how to market it.
Because it almost seems comical, right? Like it
Right.
seems like there's intentionally funny bits, you know, in
Yeah.
his death or, you know, and even the posters, he's making like a goofy face, like a
Yeah, I'm a
lopsided
goofy
smile, like a
guy.
who? I don't
Yeah.
know. Who, me?
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not sure what the plot is beyond that setup, because at some point it looks like there's two alive at the same time, and that's against the rules.
Yeah. So
Which I feel like
when,
I've seen in other
well,
sci-fi.
well, I, you know, I feel like that always happens with clone stories, right? Like that's a common trope, whether it's Multiplicity or, you know, that Paul Rudd series that was on Netflix,
Or the substance.
Substance. Yeah.
They're not supposed to be alive at the same time.
Right. You can't overlap. So, although I haven't seen it and I'm dying to see it, I'm like, it's the most, it's the Oscar movie I'm like most excited about. I
It
hope
blows
it
my mind
wins.
it's
I
an
know
Oscar
it
movie.
won't.
I know, but it's just the fact that it is an Oscar
It's
movie, I think, is
nominated.
wonderful.
Like, God, I mean, is this the point maybe we can get to like having horror nominated for things? Like, it's so cool. But anyway, about Mickey 17. When you sent me this trailer, I was like, oh, I saw this trailer and immediately was like, they owe Doctor Who money.
What Doctor Who story, though?
So this is from Matt Smith. It's a Matt Smith season. It is the fifth episode of series six, and it's called The Rebel Flesh.
Oh, yes.
And it was like a two-parter, and I think the second one was the okay. It's the Almost People, and basically they're at this former monastery where they pump highly corrosive acid that is valuable. And so they essentially like mine acid there. And this is extremely dangerous. So they use a self-replicating fluid called the flesh from which they create doppelgangers of themselves, essentially clones. They call them gangers. And then the crew controls the gangers using special harnesses where they, it's almost like, I guess, Pacific Rim in that way, where they're
Yeah.
like in control or like Avatar probably. And basically the gangers like, escape, they've gained sentience and they want to be alive. And so I assume like that is, but yeah, they're clones used specifically for dangerous jobs. I'm like, well, that's this story.
Yeah, you know, now that you reminded me of that, I actually love that story.
Me
Because
too.
it's like, you know, it's your typical Doctor Who, we're on a sinking ship kind of story. And at one point, there are a bunch of these gangers, and the doctor's like, well, we can't go with plan A because plan A would only save five of us, and there's seven of us now. And then they're like, well, two of us are gangers. And he's like, yeah, but what does that matter? They're alive. And he has to like make the argument of just because they're brand new doesn't mean that they don't matter. I thought it was really good. Yeah, that is absolutely. Don't we all? Doesn't all sci-fi owe a lot to Doctor Who
We
though?
all owe them money.
I don't know. This isn't a new story because it's just a rumor now, and there's all sorts of conflicting stuff. But have you heard the rumor that BBC is putting Doctor Who on ice?
Oh no.
There's one more Shudigatwa season that was shot and will be released,
Okay.
but since the end of the Capaldi era, it's been just diminished returns in terms of ratings. Which is, first, even if you just look at the reboot, it's been on 20 years. It came back in 2005. So from Christopher Eccleston to Shudigatwa, you talk about 20-year run.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I don't think we could blame the writers or the doctors or anybody. I think it's just, it needs to go to sleep again like it did, you know, from the seven, from what was it, the 80s until 2000.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying might happen. It's not announced yet.
Let's see here. This is as of the 19th of February. But this is rumors. It says Shuti Gatwa is rumored to have already filmed his regeneration scene.
But here's the thing, if they are going to put it on ice, they won't have an actor, right?
Right. So
So
maybe
he's
it'll be
just going to
like
like,
light, right?
bye-bye.
And then hasn't addressed reports just hours after it hit the news cycle. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. But apparently this thing is saying that he was only ever going to do two seasons anyway. I don't know.
Less than the standard.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I'm fine with it taking a break.
Me too. I mean, I haven't watched it. So there you go. It supports the diminishing returns. But
Yeah.
yeah, after the I actually didn't watch the Peter Capaldi. After well, who was it? It was Matt Smith to Peter
Yeah.
Capaldi. Yeah, after the
That's what I've
Matt
been
Smith, I
thinking
was
about.
like, I'm taking a break. I need a little break.
Sure. I mean, even that's a long run.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Fantastic Four, First Steps.
Okay, let's see if they can
Trailer. We got
let's see if they
some.
can land this plane.
We've tried this before.
Oh yeah, several times.
So you've got this place. This takes place in the 60s, which is good.
I love the aesthetic.
That retro futurism.
Love it. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Carousel of Progress.
Yeah. The thing looks great.
Yeah, some people are arguing about that.
I think he looks great. I
I
love the way he
think so
looks.
too.
I think he looks like he's like physically in the room, which is good.
Yeah, and I like the pronounced brow like he has in the comics.
Yeah, me too.
I love fucking Eben Moss Bacharach, basically
Yeah.
he's basically playing his character from
The bear, right?
Bear. It's just him
He's
talking about food, like
cooking and
yeah, he's
adding
like
garlic
a
and
little bit of zip.
it's like this is intentional.
Yeah, it was a weird tone, the trailer. Because it
Yeah, because
felt
the
like,
score is really dramatic, but what we're seeing is very lighthearted, so I'm
yeah.
kind of a disconnect there.
You see, what's his tits? John Malkovich. We don't know yet who he plays.
Yeah. I
We
was sort
see
of wondering who the bad guy is. I never.
Galactus.
Who? Oh,
Galactus.
Galactus.
Yeah, the
Oh,
Planet
shit.
Eater. You see a shadow of him at one point.
Oh, okay.
Which is better than Galactus was, I think, in the second of the Jessica Alba ones, and he was like a big cloud or
He's been
whatever.
around. And
Well,
Silver Surfer is
yeah.
his herald. So
Yeah.
I don't
So
know if
no
he's going to
Doctor
show
Doom in
up.
this. I guess Tony, fucking Tony Stark, whatever. I'll just call him Tony Stark. That's who he is now. I guess Tony Stark as Doctor Doom will be the post credit. You know, if I were Marvel right now, I'd put my best foot forward. You know what I mean? Let's not wait on a good villain. The main villain of these
Yeah.
of the Fantastic Four is Doctor Doom. Let's have Doctor Doom be in this movie. Why not?
Why not? Because you never know how many of these are you're gonna make, right?
No.
Because they don't do well typically.
No. This is our third time around with this franchise.
I like that they're not doing more of the same. They realized that the formula of making it like more realistic and darker didn't work, so
No.
they went a totally different direction. So I'm happy about that. I like
Yeah.
the cast. I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad sign that they're not showing Mr. Fantastic's powers at all.
Right.
It
They could be not done.
could be not done. That's fine.
But you know, it's funny, they were talking about this on Ringer. There are certain things that cannot be made to look realistic. There's no way, unless it were like David Cronenberg screamingly painful and bloody, there's no way to show extending your body like rubber in any way that won't look ridiculous.
Right. It only works in The Incredibles because it's a cartoon
Right,
and that's
exactly.
completely fine.
Right.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. I'll see it. It looks like fun. It looks like a fun
We'll
popcorn
see.
movie.
Yeah.
And frankly, I have not been interested at all in the latest crop of, I mean, I'm going to say the last like couple, a year, 2 years, I don't know, of Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So, this is a nice change of pace to be like, okay, this is interesting to me. Like, I didn't see Multiverse of Madness, like any of that stuff.
Now, we almost saw the new Captain America, but then everyone was like, it sucks. So I was like, okay.
Oh,
And I
no.
usually have my own, I trust my own point of view, but if a movie that I already think has a real good shot of sucking, I'm told sucks, but the people who want it to be good, then I'm gonna fucking not do it.
We watched the series, that
Oh, right. This,
series,
yeah.
that like Winter
Falcon and
Soldier,
Winter Soldier.
Falcon, and it was good. And it had some, I mean, good. It wasn't like I loved the Loki series. I thought that was like really one of the best, I think probably the best series that they've put out. I loved WandaVision, and I think maybe I didn't like it as much because even though it's superheroes, it was sort of less genre, more military espionage, not like sci-fi. But it was good. I thought it was solid. And it addressed like racism and like racism in the superhero programs and how like black soldiers who had taken super serum were overlooked and basically like died in obscurity. So that stuff was interesting, but ultimately not compelling enough to make me want to see this new movie.
Yeah, from what I've heard, if you like any of that stuff, it really doesn't matter because this movie is more of like a sequel to the fucking 18
Hulk,
Hulk
right?
movie. Like, you
Yeah.
have to remember things. It Liv Tyler comes back 20 years later.
Jeez.
Thaddeus Ross is the big bad, but now William Hurt is dead, so now it's I'll do anything for money. fucking, yeah, he'll do anything for money, won't he? Do you think Harrison Ford owns a lot? Like, he just owes a lot to the sharks? He's like, yeah, I'll do it. What do you want to
He is Han Solo in real life. Like he owes so many people
do?
money.
He owes. Yeah. He let loose a group of Rathars. And, yeah, I will see it. I don't know. See, like Doctor Who, I think this is another thing that needs to go to bed. I
I
kind of like
agree.
that this seems to be taking place in a different universe. Right, because it's the 60s and we haven't heard of them before in our universe, so it's got to be a different universe. But of course, it'll end by them coming into our universe. Maybe that's what happens, like they fucking rocket into our world or whatever the fuck. It'd be funny if they rocket in and they're like, oh, there's superheroes, literally, this place is crawling with superheroes. This is not a very special place. We're not very interesting in this scenario.
What you know what we do watch actually is the What If series.
Yeah, is that good?
We love it. We really like it. It's just people doing interesting things with superheroes that you don't usually see Marvel do. And because it's the What If series, they're bolder with it. They make choices there that they wouldn't normally make. And for that reason, I think it's interesting. But it also is not just one-offs. Like it seems like they could each be a one-off, but they do have an arc that connects the whole
Oh,
series.
interesting.
So it's pretty good. And they've never mentioned the Fantastic Four. So it's not even
Yeah.
in their multiversal storyline.
It's just, I don't know. I've talked too much on this podcast about how I think Marvel stinks.
I know you're a real Scorsese.
Yeah, well, I disagree with what he said because I think a movie can be a ride. I think a movie can be a lot of different things, but I think their movies just aren't anymore. I don't know what their movies are.
Yeah, I don't think anyone I don't know. I mean, at a certain point, like, are they making money internationally? Because how can this be cost effective?
Who knows? Oh, I yawn just thinking about it. All right, let's talk about Friendship. The trailer to Friendship.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
I am hyped out of my mind about this movie.
Yes. All the people in the YouTube comments who were like, this feels like an I think you should leave sketch. I'm like, what? What? What are you doing here? Babe, we know. We've been new.
What do you
What are you
say?
talking
I mean,
about?
and even if it wasn't clear by the tone, the trailer shows its hand because it's clearly playing itself out like a thriller, but then you've got a quote from a critic that says it's the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
What's amazing though is I was surprised to find that the movie is written and directed by Andrew DeYoung, who worked on
Okay.
Pen 15 and Our Flag Means Death, but not I Think You Should Leave.
Huh.
Despite it feeling very Tim Robinson is
Yeah.
not a producer on it or a writer on it. No
Wow.
one who wrote or worked on I Think You Should Leave worked on this. It's an entirely different thing.
Huh.
I know
Connor
it.
O'Malley's in it.
Yes, that's true. It feels so Tim Robinson.
Yeah.
It's called Friendship. I guess they set it up kind of like it plays itself out kind of like a domestic thriller, and it's a
Yeah.
guy who like his wife sets him up to be friends to have like a guy's night with his neighbor who's Paul Rudd, who looks like his character from Anchorman.
Yeah.
And they're like a bunch of guys sitting around talking about their feelings, and they
And
start.
is an anchor man, it seems.
Right. Because this would
Yeah.
see him on TV with his wife.
Yeah.
At some point, they start singing My Boo.
Yeah.
And the fucking. It's so. Tim Robinson does a perfect Tim Robinson double take where he's like, are they singing? And he looks at one person and he looks back at them.
And he goes from being like, what? And weirded out to like really enjoying it
Yeah.
and taking in the moment. And
Yeah.
just like it's the sensitivity of all these men in this friend group. It kind of reminded me of the what is it, the Paul Walter Hauser sketch
Yes.
when
Yeah,
he's in
yeah.
a play and he's at his like friend's house for poker and they're like,
Yeah.
come on, we're having a sleepover. And it's just like that
Yeah.
tenderness you don't
Yeah.
usually see in male friendships. And so he's like, it seems like a lonely guy who gets taken in by this friend group, but then I don't know what happens, and he's no longer welcome in the friend group.
Yeah, we the turn is fucking he's like, we had a great hang, but I don't really think this friendship's gonna work. And he's like, you accepted me too soon. You can't do that to people.
Yeah. And then it seems like there might be stalking and
Fucking his wife, maybe.
Yeah, and like obsession and danger, and but it's all playing out in a
Conor O'Malley
very,
screaming at him.
yeah,
You don't deserve to be fucking
it's
psycho. Who are you?
like, who are you?
One shot. Fucking Tim Robinson just runs through a glass door.
Oh, God.
So good. Oh.
I guess we'll see what this is gonna be, but I hope it's great. And I hope it has the legs to last the length of a film, you know, because
Yeah.
sometimes, you know, we've talked about it on the show, like sometimes his longer sketches will have these like really big pauses. And I feel like we're gonna get that in this film, but I just hope, you know, it lands and that we can move, you know, through the scenes without
Well, yeah, I mean,
too much dead air.
we do have a different writer and director. So maybe he was like, who's perfect for this is Tim Robinson.
Okay.
And hit and maybe his guiding hand. I mean, it should not be anything longer than 88 minutes. The trailer ends with him being like Tim Robinson talking to his wife. He's like, "You know what? I heard there's a new Marvel out and it's supposed to be insane. We should go see that."
God. Oh,
Just
I didn't
him.
watch that thing you sent about how, Tim Robinson failed up or like failed forward from SNL.
Oh yeah.
I wish they had him back. He was a cast member for their
I know.
50th.
I know. I haven't watched the full 50th yet.
Me neither, but I watched so many clips, I feel like I've seen the whole thing.
It was okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back with the chill session. Welcome back to PCMC. Janine takes a big old bite of whipped cream. What do you got over there, buddy?
I have iced coffee with oat milk and a nice whipped cream and caramel drizzle.
That sentence started off healthy.
No, it ended deliciously.
Can your liver stand that kind of deliciousness?
you only live once, and I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
That's right, aren't we all?
That's true.
So this is the chill sesh. This is the shesh where we chill. You were talking about what if before. Have you heard anything about DC's absolute universe?
No, not at all.
So I've been getting into it. I started with Wonder Woman. So there's always some new initiative at DC, but right now they're doing this thing called the absolute universe, which is a kind of what if universe.
Okay.
It's a universe that w the backstory is very fucking comic book
Is
convoluted.
it like, remember when we did Infinite Crisis? Well, forget we did it. We want the other ones.
There have been so many crises in DC, it's ridiculous. This is Darkseid, or is it Darkseid? I always don't remember if it's Darkseid. It's Darkseid, right?
I've always said dark side, and I've never heard it said.
Darkseid? Okay,
Yeah.
so Darkseid.
I don't know.
He like I don't know, he made his own universe, and it's a universe that's basically shittier. So there right now there are three absolute titles. There's Absolute Batman, Absolute Wonder Woman, Absolute Superman, and they're all selling really, really well. Like they've become a much bigger hit than I think DC thought they were going to be, so they've been reprinting them.
Too bad it's not like the late 90s, early 2000s when Absolute Vodka campaigns were really popular.
That would have been a nice tie-in.
And a good crossover.
So I'm all caught up on Absolute, and I'm someone who usually with comic books I buy trades, I buy volumes, but I was like I really wanted to read this, so I was like, you know what? Let me go to the fucking comic book store and buy some issues. That'll be fun. And by the way, we are way back. We're like back to the 90s in terms of variant covers. Holy macaroni! Everything has like nine variant covers. It's fucking ridiculous. So So the Wonder Woman. Okay, so Wonder Woman's story is in this version, Apollo takes her from Themyscira and brings her to hell, and as a baby, and she's raised by a witch,
Sure.
and she grows up in hell and learns dark magic,
Ooh.
and she has a lasso, but it's like it glows red, and it doesn't make you tell the truth. It makes you feel the pain of all the sins you've ever created.
Oh.
And she rides on a Pegasus that is like a skeleton Pegasus,
Okay.
and her character design is very, very cool. She's like all red and has like red tattoos and stuff. It's very cool so far. I very much dig it. I dig the vibe. I haven't gotten into Superman or Batman yet. People are saying Batman's really good.
Oh.
But it's the same vibe. It's all like here's like darker versions of all of them.
Oh, it looks like she's got a huge, like, what the hell are those games? Final Fantasy sword?
Yes, it's ridiculous. It's redonkulous. And what
That's
I like about
fun.
her is they She's drawn, is very tall and very muscular, and with a kind of like flat nose.
Okay.
She looks like not the sort of Western idea of beauty.
Okay.
I don't know. I like it. I like the vibe.
You like her design? Let me
Yeah.
see. What's she looking like? Okay. Oh, she's very, very pretty. I think she looks great. I see what you mean.
I don't think she's not pretty. I just think she's not like white girl.
It's not,
She's
yeah.
not big. She has like what we would consider like more masculine strength markers, like big thick biceps and stuff like that, rather than like, skinny waist, big titties.
Yeah, her body's more even throughout, right?
She looks like, yeah.
She looks like those absolutely gorgeous female rugby players that took the world by
Yes.
storm during the Olympics, right? Who could hand your ass to you.
Yes.
I
Yeah.
love
So
that.
it's so I've been enjoying that.
Very cool.
What have you been chilling with?
A lot of things. Well, in the sense that like the new Harley Quinn season came out, but it's not all out, so and I didn't realize that, so unfortunately now I have to go week by week. But I love it.
Boo.
I know. They're in Metropolis this season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is kind of fun. And like I think was it Brainiac is the villain?
I was thinking about watching that.
Yeah, it's a great show. I love it. I love
How
it.
many seasons are there?
I think five.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but it's very good.
Did
The
you watch
writing is
Cruiser
consistent.
Commandos?
No, I haven't watched it. It's on my list. I want to check it out.
I
Is it
think it's pretty
worthwhile,
good.
you think?
I don't know. I saw one episode and I wasn't super into it, but
Oh, okay.
it's part of the James Gunn universe, but it feels like the James Gunn universe is not a hard reset
Okay.
because it carries over things from the former one.
Yeah. We didn't watch the Kite Man series. So there's like one season of Kite Man that's in between this season and the last season of Harley Quinn because Kite Man's a character on the show.
Okay.
And he's really great. He's really funny. But it seems like, so this is the thing I hate. It seems like some plot stuff happened in Kite Man that is pertaining to this season. And so I'm just like, oh shit. Like I'm not gonna go watch that necessarily. I don't want I just I, you know, I don't like when shows do that.
I know. And hence why Marvel sucks. No, I remember the connection now. Alan Tudyk is Clayface in Creature Commandos, as well as in Harley Quinn.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Yeah, he's also the Joker. He's like one of my favorite versions of the Joker is on this show.
That's fun.
He's great. He's like he has no idea Bruce Wayne is Batman in the series.
Well,
And
I've seen that clip where he finds out.
oh, yeah, no, he's as of this season, he either like forgot or I don't know, but he's like he doesn't know. And it's like buddying up to Bruce Wayne. And it's like dad to dad, like let's talk because the Joker in this series has a wife and like has two stepchildren and is like a very involved parent. It's
That's
like
incredible.
so funny. It's so funny. I love the show. So we've been watching that. We did What If, the new season of What If. We liked it. We watched the whole thing. Oh, the biggest thing that we got into was and like absolutely loved. Like if I had watched this in December of last year, it would have been the best show that I watched all year. Like I loved it. It's too early to say if it'll be the best show I've seen this year, but it's so great. And it's Jury Duty on Freevee, a Freevee original, which Freevee doesn't even exist anymore. So the Freevee shows are
Okay.
showing on Prime. And I had heard like a little bit about the show, and but everyone, and I heard from a lot of like very different people saying the same thing that the show was incredible. It was very funny and ultimately like an extremely heartwarming experience. And
Okay.
so the premise of the show is it's basically like a Truman Show
Okay.
where one guy was picked to participate in what he believed was a documentary about the jury process in the United States legal system. And so he is participating in that.
Is it a reality show?
It is, yeah,
Oh,
but
okay.
it's scripted. So it's
Oh.
every single other person that he meets in his time there is an actor.
Oh, but the main character is not.
But the main character is not. So he's just responding to situations and including the real James Marsden, who's playing a James Vanderbeek type version of himself, where he's like a very heightened version of himself.
Incredible.
And it's so good. It's so good. The improv is incredible. Everybody they hired is just fantastic at their jobs. Like they really sold it to the point where the guy had no clue, and by the last episode was like, really taken by surprise by
Wow.
this whole process. And the best part about the show is the guy. He is unfailingly kind, decent. No matter what they throw at him, he responds with acceptance and kindness and just like, he's just so nice and like likable. And people were like responding to the show, like, I don't think you guys set out to find the last good person alive, but we
Wow.
found him. Like, he's so nice.
What an interesting
And all the
outcome.
actors were like, we all fell in love with you. Like, anytime we tried to like weird you out, like, so for instance, they cast this one guy to so the jury gets sequestered, and that's how they're able to kind of keep up the
Okay.
illusion, right? Because they have to take their phones away
Yeah.
and they have no outside contact. And there's this one guy who's like extremely weird. He's interested in post-humanism, so he's interested in like bionic enhancements, and he's always like coming in with like something for his nose, something for his eyes. Like, he comes in with these chair legs attached to his pants, and they give him the adjoining room with this guy Ronald. He's the main character, and you see on the second day there, Ronald's like, yeah, so I showed Todd the movie A Bug's Life because I thought he would really relate to this character of like being an inventor. She's just so wholesome, and like we,
That's
you know,
incredible.
he's a sweet cinnamon roll,
Do
and
you see, in Practical Jokers way, do you see like behind the scenes of the actors being like reacting?
not until the last episode. The last
Oh, okay.
episode is so actually the second to last episode, right at the end, they reveal it. And
Okay.
then the last episode is basically all of the behind the scenes. You see the production, you see like where they had cameras, and we're as the audience, we're seeing it as he's being shown by the crew.
Wow. Okay. How did they pick
And
him?
well, so there's this whole Vulture article that was paywalled about how they picked him, so I couldn't see it. But it was through a Craigslist ad, and basically like, do you want to appear in documentary? It'll be paid. And he was in between jobs, so he's like, sure, I'll go
Oh,
for
yeah.
it. Like, why not? So he was like a solar panel salesman.
Oh.
Yeah. And he now he has a 3-year production deal with Amazon MGM. And he won
Incredible.
$100,000 for appearing on the show. And yeah, his life changed overnight. And he's apparently real
Wow.
life friends with James Marsden now.
Of course.
And with all the other people. They all loved him so much. So it's just like such a sweet show, and it's
I
so
really
funny.
want to.
It's genuinely funny. And it's only one season, and they're 1-hour episodes, 8 episodes, so it's very doable.
Maybe I'll do that tonight. My
It's
skill
really
set.
great. We loved it so much, and we thought it was hilarious. The good thing about it is he's never the butt of the joke.
Okay.
There, it is not mean-spirited, but it is very funny.
That sounds awesome. I have heard nothing about it.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so Jury Duty. I highly
I definitely
recommend
want to
it.
watch that. That sounds like perfect sick watching.
It was. We watched it while we had the flu. We were, and it was
Perfect.
delightful. And it was, you know, it was
Sick
great.
watching, that should, we should do an episode of PCMC on sick
Oh,
watching
sick
because
watching, yeah.
it's.
Junji Ito. I had a fever while I was watching that.
Oh my goodness, that's terrible sick watching.
I loved it. I thought it was cozy. We spoke about
Really?
this. We
Yeah.
spoke about this.
Yeah, because sick, when you're sick, it's like it's got to be cozy, but it's got to like can't be too involved. It's got to be light enough.
Yeah, I couldn't wa we wanted to start a new show, and Bill and I were both like not 100% at all.
Can't
And
be
I was
foreign.
like,
Can't be foreign. I can't read anything.
I can't handle the drama right
No.
now. I don't want anything dark.
No.
I need light. I need, if it
Yeah.
wasn't going to be a new series, we were like taking a chance with Jury Duty, and it ended up being like the perfect thing to watch, because otherwise I was just going to watch like Simpsons or something like I
Right.
know
New
that I could fall
Girl
asleep
again.
to, or yeah, it's no big deal. But I was so happy with it. So yes, very good sick watching, just easy watching. It was good. And it was nominated for a bunch of Emmys. It was nominated for a bunch of Golden Globes, and it won a Peabody.
That's awesome.
And it won the Peabody because, in setting out to make this fake documentary about like the American judicial system and how a jury works, the second to last episode really shows you how a jury works in his deliberation. Like, because he has to deliberate with the jury,
Wow.
he's named the
What is the
foreman of the
case about?
jury.
Is it a murder case?
No, it's a case in sense, so it's a civil case, so it's not guilt or not guilty, it's liable or not liable. And so basically it's this company that claims that one of their employees passed out because they were drunk at work, overrode the machine that was printing t-shirts, and that the t-shirts were all messed up, and then he collapsed in the pile of t-shirts and like peed on himself because he was quote unquote, they're accusing him of being drunk, and like ruined the entire shipment, and then like ruined her reputation because she couldn't fulfill the shipment, and it was supposed to be for like a big event, and that he's liable for the damages. And ultimately they determine the outcome of the case, but that's the situation, and who do you believe, and so it's interesting too, like kind of sussing out like who the production wants you to side with,
Interesting.
even though it's not a real case. And I don't know, I just loved it. I thought it was great.
That's awesome. I definitely want to watch that for real.
It's a
Speaking
good
of
one.
cozy, I just read something cozy.
Oh, what'd you read?
I read a book called The Hobbit. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh yeah. Have
The
I
Hobbit.
ever heard of it? My God, those like that first chapter, how great.
So cozy.
Like when they're describing his hole in the ground, but not a
Yeah.
nasty wet hole.
It sounds, first of all, nasty wet hole. Who told you my search terms? I now I'm reading Lord of the Rings, and I probably will take a year to read it.
Oh yeah. Well, all those songs you have to get through. There's so many songs.
I love it. I think so. Even though I've only read The Hobbit in like 20 pages or 50 pages of Lord of the Rings, I already have a hot take, which
Oh,
is
okay.
this. People talk about this amazing world building and stuff, which it is, but I think the thing that's more significant is that this man was insane, right? This is an insane thing to do. You can, and I think why it's so cozy is because there's like, I mean, with the second book, he knew he was going to be published, but still, he fucking made it a zillion pages, and there's four fucking, there's a whole 10-page prologue on the weed that they smoke. Like, he just created his own universe, like really did it. Like not like the way people say like George Lucas did it. Like he really did it. Like he could tell you like Bilbo's fucking aunt's name.
Oh yeah, they go back.
It's crazy. And it's like who this is like crazy like a fox. Like this is insane.
Now, The Hobbit was written as a children's story though, right? Or at least it's framed that way, that it's I feel like it's easier to read.
It's written in a very episodic way. It's written to be read each chapter a night for a kid. And although it's not so kiddie, there's implied violence, but violence is never shown. Like there's a battle, but Bilbo's asleep through the whole battle.
Okay, yeah. The riddles in the dark chapter is spooky. Like that whole all the Gollum stuff is I find much spookier in The Hobbit than it is in Lord of the Rings even.
But we've probably not read the original. He did a second edition where he changed it.
Oh.
Because I think in the original, Bilbo wins the ring,
Okay.
and Gollum gives it to him.
Huh. And he doesn't steal it.
Yeah, and I think then, or something like that. I think when he wrote Lord of the Rings, he didn't. He wrote into the story that Gandalf says, "I always thought you were lying about that story." So he put an in-world retcon, and then I think he rewrote it to the version that we read now where he steals it. Because he, unlike, you know, or like George Lucas, although he pretends he didn't know where things were going. He just thought it was a ring that made you invisible. It wasn't until later that he was like, oh, he probably would never give it up. But that is one of the most interesting chapters. Gollum is such an interesting character. And I mean, I'm not deep into Lord of the Rings, but even what I've read now, like it's very cozy.
Now, I know your dad is a big time Tolkien head.
Yeah.
Now, was it part of your childhood growing up?
I never read it as a kid. I saw the animated films as a kid.
Oh yeah, me too. The 1977 Hobbit is sick, and I have it on VHS.
It might be an upcoming episode of PCMC.
Ooh.
One you're not on, so you won't listen to it.
God damn it.
But motherfucker. I like that you're surprised at episodes you're not on.
Oh.
Did I do this?
Did I sleep through this?
It's funny though, to because now it's the most household thing. Where when I was a kid, it was just some weird thing my dad was into that no one else knew about. Like it really was like it was so esoteric. I mean, it was obviously a huge thing, but it wasn't like kids didn't know it. Nobody knew it. Like I even when it, I remember when it was announced, it was like a big deal to my dad, the film, and really like before the first movie, it was not this household name. I just remember him. He would read it like the Torah. He would read it like every year. He read it so many times. He's like one of those. I then read the Silmarillion many times. And he was one of those people who was disappointed a lot by the book, by sorry, by the film, by the changes that it made.
Oh, interesting. I
Some of the
always
changes are
thought like
dumb.
I always thought that people who were really big lovers of the book were generally pretty happy with the Lord of the Rings films, but not the Hobbit films, because the Hobbit
Oh, the
films
Hobbit film
suck.
are, I mean, everything about the Hobbit. Lindsay Ellis did a really good, like, long video on it, on how bad it was. It everything about it is every choice they make, everything about it is bad. I mean, it's a like a 300 and something page book, and then you try really hard to like lead make it the tone of Lord of the Rings, but the thing that makes Hobbit cute is like it has a much more charming, cozy tone. And they add a bunch of shit. They elongate things. They add Legolas into it. They just add so much bullshit.
Yeah, they add what the hell is his name? Bjorn? And Bjorn's in Lord of the Rings.
No, Bjorn's in The Hobbit.
He's in The Hobbit also?
Yeah,
He's also in Lord of the Rings, but they didn't include him.
he's in the Hobbit book.
Okay.
But I don't think they add him the same way. And there's still things that are not in the Hobbit. Like there's like, I think what I think. Have you read any of them or all of them?
I've read all of them, yeah. I've never read the Appendices or the Silmarillion, but I have the edition that has the Appendices, so I could read them. I opted not to.
Sure.
And the pages and pages of songs.
I kind of like the songs. In The Hobbit, there's this sequence where like they're in the dark woods and it's like literally pitch black, and then they see like elves, the wood elves, like starting a fire. So they like take a step towards them, and then everything goes out at once. And it's like it's a very weird, surreal thing that's not in the film. And it's like, well, if you're, it's just weird because it makes sense to do Lord of the Rings as a trilogy. And then the original idea where it was to be The Hobbit was going to be produced by Peter Jackson, but written and directed by Guillermo del Toro would have been such a cool idea. But then Guillermo del Toro, I don't, it's not clear why he left, but he left. He
It
was like,
feels
fuck this.
very JJ coming back to the project, you know?
Yes, exactly. Very much like, I don't want to do it. Right. That's it. Everything about it sucks. Like, where they took like 5 years to prepare for Lord of the Rings, they had like 6 months. So they reused music from Lord of the Rings. It's so slapdash. Like Ian
And
McKellen says
despite
it's one of
being,
his worst experiences ever acting in a
yes,
movie.
because he didn't act against anybody.
Yeah, like at one point he broke down crying on the set.
Yeah, he's like, this is not how it's supposed to be. I
Can
need to be
you
with people.
and the first movie, like they all got so tight, they like got matching tattoos. And then in the second movie, you're crying because it's the worst job you've ever had. Like,
What a
what an
bummer.
absolute bummer. What a bummer, man. And it's like, and it sucks. Like I just said, like Bilbo's asleep through the Battle of Five Armies. They decided to make that a whole like movie, and they're not even short movies. They're like 2.5 hours each. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I know. Two movies I could forgive, but
Maybe two
three.
movies. One long movie or two
Three.
movies, I think, is possible. But it sucks so bad. I just recently watched them because I saw the first one in the theater and it was all right. And then Alamo played the Lord of the Rings trilogy, so I saw that again. I was like, oh, let me go back and finish The Hobbit. And oi, is it bad?
I know, I agree.
The only smart choice they make is they make what's the I forget the name of the character that actually kills the dragon, Bard. They bring him in earlier and make him a real character with a family, whereas in the book, he's just sort of introduced in the scene that he kills the dragon. And
This is Bard. Oh, look at what
then
he
he's in
did.
the rest of it, but it's sort of like, but that's
What
another.
I like about that, though, is that it has a sort of realism to it where it's
Yeah.
like the guy that you know very well is not always going to be the person to do the thing, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, they try to make all of these stories like more like, you know, the Hollywood three act structure. And clearly, like, Tolkien's just writing to write for himself. And he doesn't give a shit. Like, because it nothing feels half-assed. But he's also not following any like narrative rules. Like, yeah, I'll the inciting incident won't happen for 100 pages. Who gives a fuck? Like, I don't care. Yeah, I'll give you 20 pages on the history of hobbits. I do gotta say, I prefer Colin New York's goblins. I like that in The Hobbit they're called goblins. I don't like that he changed that.
To orcs, yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's a better visual. Like we have a resource in our mind for what a
What a
goblin
goblin is,
might be.
yeah.
And if you have to use the word a goblin to describe an orc, then it's like, well, just cut to the chase and use goblin.
Yeah. If you were like, hey, what's she like? And you're like, well, she's a bit of an orc. You'd be like, well organized. She's strong.
An
She has
orca?
great leadership skills. But if I said she's a goblin, you'd be like, oh, I get it. I often call Peach a goblin.
A goblin.
Yeah. Because people think Peach is very cute, but she's like, eh, I can't say it. She's like farting and like almost throwing up like a cat. Like, she's horrible.
Why does she almost throw up so often?
It's just part of her breed. You know,
Oh.
the smaller and cuter they are, the more they are a spit in the face of God. Like it's just opposite of eugenics. It's just
Isn't she like a golden doodle or something?
she's a Cavapoo. So there's Poodle in there and Cavalier King Charles, but she's prone to she's like Paul Rubens in 30 Rock. She's prone
My
to
God.
urinary tract infections. So we have to wipe her vagina when
Oh my
we have to
God.
wipe her vagina every time she goes out to the bathroom.
No.
The privileged life that she leads, she can't have anything other than her special expensive diet because she
Okay.
had pancreatitis.
That
From nothing. I mean, we barely gave her any, but like you can't give her any table.
might be the Cavalier King Charles in her because my mom's dog was Cavalier King Charles, and she also used to get like crazy stones, like kidney stones and stuff from her
Yeah.
diet, and they had to like change it a bunch. And then she eventually died of a heart attack, so that was
Oh.
terrible.
What was that dog's name?
Lady, because she looked like Lady from Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. All right. Well, we do hope that Peach will be the dog that lives forever.
I hope so too.
Sometimes when we talk about the future, Jen would be like, so yeah, then like when we retire, you, me, and Peach 4 will go to, I guess she's assuming that we'll eventually clone her.
Maybe like Barbra Streisand.
She'd be a hard, yes, like Barbra Streisand. Peach would be a very hard dog to follow. I've had a life of dogs. I'm a dog person. He's top two dogs I've ever had. Top two.
Was it Max?
Yeah, certainly Max. But she's just got a lot of personality. She's weird as fuck.
I've never had a good dog.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, I hated all my dogs.
I'm sorry. I'm
That's
so
why I don't have a
sorry.
dog now. I'm like,
I
you
have a
know,
con.
I haven't had a good run, so I could take a break.
I've got a contentious relationship with my parents' current dog, Ricky.
Ricky! I've never met Ricky.
Our relationship is fraught. Let's put it that way. Just yesterday, he bit my thumb.
I almost just spit iced coffee
Yeah.
all over
The one thing a dog should not do.
the place. Yeah.
He did it.
Oh
What a
no.
scumbag.
I had a very nice first dog, but she was incontinent and pissed everywhere constantly, and that was horrible. But she was a sweetie pie. And then I had a very well-trained dog that always went outside, but he was the meanest son of a bitch that has walked
Oh
this planet. And he attacked everybody in this family.
my
We couldn't
God.
have people over. He would attack. And like, he's been trained. He went to boot camp. He was taken by the trainer away to a more intense boot camp. Like he was, he was like scared straight, but
Yeah,
it didn't
Scared
matter.
Street.
He was the meanest dog.
Sometimes you would try to scare Peach Street by showing her like videos of dogs in shelters and be like, see this? That's what your life could be.
That could be you.
Yeah.
And he was bred to be a show dog. He was from a show dog line. But we also rescued him, which is kind of an odd
Interesting.
circumstance. Yeah, he was a weird situation. We got this dog.
From riches to rags.
He was the pet of an elderly woman who had died, and then her impoverished relatives took him in, but they were like, we're not allowed to have dogs in our apartment building. So then they needed to find a home for him. And my mother was like, yeah, great, we'll take him. Ditched the dog with me and immediately like moved out. And then
Right.
I had this crazy dog.
That's fantastic.
Oh, God.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with obsessions.
Okay.
Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Michael Jordan. I'm here with Janine Dungareen
Ooh, Janine Dungar, I like that. You know, we never did Janine Benverine.
Well, soon, apparently.
Next time.
This is Obsessions. This is where we talk about what we are currently obsessed with in pop culture, media, or whatever. What are you currently obsessed with, Janine?
Oh, well, you know, I feel like if you've been on a website that sells books or even in a bookstore, you have probably seen the book cover for the latest release in the Empyrean series, Onyx Storm.
I'm so glad you're talking about this because this was almost in a news piece.
Really?
I
Okay,
wanted to talk
okay.
about the weirdness of Onyx Storm, but please,
Okay.
I'm so excited that you're talking about it.
Okay. So I'm not obsessed with Onyx Storm. In fact, I'm finding it difficult to get into.
Well, isn't it not the first book in the series?
No, it's not. I'm obsessed with Fourth Wing, which is the first
Okay.
book in the series. Loved
Sure.
it. I liked Iron Flame, which is the second book, very, very, very much. And I only finished Iron Flame like 10 days, 2 weeks before Onyx Storm came out. So I'm like very
Yeah.
close in the series. Like I was fresh in my mind. And now I'm reading, and I'm not even in the middle of Onyx Storm. I'm like a third of the way into Onyx Storm.
What? So, what is it about? Is it about sexy dragons?
Oh yeah. Well, it's sexy people who ride dragons,
Okay.
right? So it's got this book's got everything. It's got a school that's sort of like Hogwarts, except it's a war college for 20-year-olds, and and it's got this sort of divergent quality of being like you go into a cohort right away, so you're either like a scribe or infantry or a rider, right? And the rider, it's like the hardest one, which is sort of like divergent, right? So
Yeah.
it takes so much from so many series, which is fine because I felt like in Fourth Wing, this person, Rebecca Yarros, who's the writer, is she the most talented writer? No, like she doesn't have the prose that noted TERF J.K. Rowling has. She a real skill with prose. But what she really excels at is plot and plotting.
Yeah.
And so she's really, really good at like keeping those beats going. Like the first Hunger Games novel like really reminds me of the plotting that happens in Fourth Wing, where like there's a twist, there's a turn. And the thing I liked most about it is if you're a reader, you can kind of in a lot of these types of genre books, especially, you can kind of see where the plot is going,
Yeah.
which is fine by me as long as it's like an entertaining ride. Like I don't mind. But
Yeah.
every time I thought she was gonna zig, she zagged, and I really liked that. She
So
kept
Mike,
surprising me.
why then is this third book the one that's like getting headlines and like being this big breakthrough thing?
I think the world finally caught up to book talk. Right. So
Okay.
like these books were really big on BookTok over the last like 2 years. They're pretty free like recent releases. It sort of reminds me of the fervor that happened when the fourth Harry Potter book was released. Like the first three books were released and people loved them, but it wasn't like hu they weren't huge releases until four came out. And at that
Okay.
point, like the whole world was like set on fire by these books. And
I see.
I think it's the same thing that's happening now. People got really into the this series. And basically it's got like a little bit of Game of Thrones, it's got Hunger Games, it's got like, 'cause they're always killing each other in the college, and then it's Game of
Is it
Thrones
young
because they
adult or adult?
no, it's adult. It's adult. It's not
Is it
young
how
adult.
sexy does it get?
It's pretty, I mean, Three Hot Chili Peppers. It gets spicy.
Does she have senses like his luscious balls?
Oh,
He
well, I
unzips
mean,
his pants and his luscious
there's
balls.
it's I would say what they call it is okay, the Sarah J. Maas like Court of Thrones and Roses, which I have not read, or Court of Thorns and Roses, I think. That's like elf smut, they call it. This they call it
Sure.
dragon smut.
Nice.
It's
Okay.
like you figure the book, I think this book has like 65 chapters or something. There's like four chapters of smut. So, I mean, Game of Thrones had that too. Yeah, so
This
there's
is
definitely
consensual smut.
this consensual smut. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not loving it as much as I love the other two. They're fun. They're fun books. I tried to get your brother to read them, and he read the Wikipedia and started highlighting sentences of like, girl, this is where I checked out. Like, absolutely not.
Me and Jen almost started reading it together,
Okay.
and we might in the future. Because I wanted to finish Lord of the Rings, but yeah, we came close. So, but didn't the new one break some sort of record?
Oh, probably. Maybe for like the most pre-orders or something. I know that's a big deal in publishing.
Nuts. That's nuts.
But yeah, no, it was like crazy hype. So the book was coming out like, I think maybe January 18th or something. And like my birthday's the 27th. So Bill was like, I'm getting you this book for your birthday. And then he's like, on Amazon, it says I can't get it for like 6 weeks until after the book comes out. Like, it was so back ordered on Amazon or something that like he
Wow.
couldn't order it. So I just went over to Barnes and Noble. I'm like, girlie, you can get it like the day before it comes out on in Barnes and Noble. So just get it from there.
Nice.
So yeah. Well, so
Awesome.
that's my obsession. I'm a dragon girlie now.
Well, weren't you always?
I truly was, because you may or may not know, I used to collect mood dragons from the Franklin Mint.
I feel like I did know that.
You probably did. I had a whole shelf of them. They were amazing. I wish I had them now. Oh my God.
Oh my light went out. Excuse me. So sorry.
Is this one of those things where you have to like clap to let them know you're in the room?
No, my foot hit the thing. That's fantastic. Dragon girly.
Little dragon girly.
All right. My current obsession is Sarah Sherman, current SNL cast member,
Yes,
comedian.
Nosferatu.
More like nose for coke, dude. So Sarah Sherman, I would put her in the same rank as your Sarah Silvermans and Kyle Mooney's
Okay.
and Tim Robinson's, of people that are have very, very distinct comedic voices, but then somehow are on SNL. But unlike those others, they have figured out how to use her.
Okay.
It let her be her. And her thing is she's very cute. She calls her comedy body horror comedy.
Okay.
Her like live stage show has like a bunch of like videos and crazy like shit in it. And if you ever see her either on SNL like during Weekend Update or just in, I don't know, talk show, whatever, she wears crazy, crazy outfits like all the time.
Yeah, she's got like mullet hair, like her real hair.
Yeah, she's really, really interesting artist. The thing that I watch the most is she does a lot of Weekend Update bits with Colin Jost where she's just roasting him. There's the Nosferatu one. There's one where she played a squirrel. There's one where she plays a little boy who's there. He won a ticket to see SNL, but we learn soon that he's actually Colin Jost's illegitimate child. And she's like playing this little boy. She's got like a little boy hair, and she's like, "Oh, gee whiz, Mr. Colin, I never met my daddy." Oh, I just grew up with my mommy. She's a maid. We live on Second Street. And he's like, "Oh, that's funny. I used to have a maid who lived on Second Street." And then like she looks at the camera, and you hear Cats in the Cradle. She's like, "Okay, wait. On the count of three, say what your favorite thing is for breakfast. One, two, three, and then they both go cocaine. So it's a lot of her making fun of him. So she also has a recurring bit on Read an Update that's called like Sarah's News, where like she has her own set that's like weird. Like the set is very much like her aesthetic of like brains and weird shit, and it's just really, it's just like she's like, let me take you, we'll do a tour backstage and let's go into Colin's dressing room, and there's like a weird shrine to her, and she's like, oh my god, are you obsessed with me? And then it's like panties, and she's like, are these my panties? You're disgusting. And then Michael Che's like a news story is like, this just in, local panty sniffer Colin Jost. It's just, I don't know. I find her delightful. I think she's so funny. I want to see her show live.
Yeah.
She's also was on, she did one of these, she did it, James Franco, where she got on General Hospital because she loves
Oh.
General Hospital. And they're like, yeah, you could be on General Hospital. So she's on, I don't know if she was on for more than an episode, but she was on General Hospital.
That's so funny. Oh, God.
I think she got her and her mother on General Hospital.
Oh, that's great.
So she's my current obsession. I loved watching her shit. It's so good.
My first introduction to her was, oh, and I mourn the loss of this show, but 2 years in a row, Miley Cyrus did a New Year's Eve show in from
Yeah.
Miami, and your brother and I watched it both years. Like, we watched it together. And she and another comedian who I think was also signed to SNL that same year, and I'm not sure if they're on anymore, they were doing the crowd work. And it was so weird. I was like, who is this person? Like, I had no frame of reference for who she was or what she did. But I was like, boy, she's a real
Yeah,
weirdo.
she's that's yeah, she's a real weirdo.
Yeah, I love that.
Her grandmother had a glass eye and she wears it like a necklace.
Oh my God.
She's fantastic. She's fantastic.
Amazing. That's
She
amazing.
was on the Tonight Show and she was wearing this outfit that looked like a picnic with a table on
With
it.
a salad on the top, or
And she makes it work. She makes it work.
she does a real avant-garde aesthetic.
Yeah. But they know how to use her, unlike Tim Robinson, who was in a few good sketches, but they never knew how to. Apparently, a lot of the first season of I Think You Should Leave were things he pitched for SNL, and they were like, no.
Wow.
No. This is not what we do. So yeah, that's
Yeah,
my current
that
obsession.
him and that other guy with the, like, he's got a really interesting looking face. He's been on I Think You Should Leave. Oh God, I can't remember what his name is. But yeah, there's a few people that crop that just, like, didn't hit on SNL, but they were very, very, very funny.
Yeah. He was only on for one season.
Yeah.
But he continued to write on it, which I think was like he was like the second person in history that that happened to,
Huh.
where he was demoted from performer to writer.
Okay.
But who knows what he even got on.
It's been a while.
Yeah. All right. So this has been a fantastic raging folly of an episode.
We really, it was cathartic. By the end, we were happy again.
Yes. Yes. All right. We will see you next week. Janine, we end every episode by saying
Go, bye-bye.